Well, welcome back, everybody. It's been a while to the Cloud Out Loud podcast. I'm John Gallagher.
I'm Logan Gallagher.
And we are going to be talking. We initially had a single podcast scheduled, and it's going to turn into, who knows, a thread of podcasts talking about machine learning. And what we'd like to do with this initial podcast is set the context, both technically, what is machine learning? What are these terms you hear thrown out? Try and give you some useful definitions. And obviously in the notes, we'll give you pointers to things like Wikipedia and papers and such. So we'll talk about the technical side. We'll also kind of unveil the business side and talk about why people are so interested in machine learning right now. We will talk about some of the drawbacks of it, but our next podcast in the series will focus more on drawbacks, cautionary tales, the things that are going to be necessary for you to understand as you try and leverage this technology. So, Logan, going to dump it into your lap here to set the context technically of what are we talking about here with all of this hype that we hear about?
Absolutely. So I think that it would be worth going through some definitions of terms because, frankly, there are a lot of terms being bandied about by marketing, by some of these technology companies, and it's worth actually talking about definitions of what these terms and technologies mean. I think in particular with artificial intelligence, the beautiful and dangerous thing about artificial intelligence is that when we think of artificial intelligence, many of our minds go to works of fiction, go to sci-fi, go to movies, and we're thinking iRobot and HAL 9000. And I frankly think that technology companies rely on us to do that. They rely on our imaginations to sort of fill in the gaps and imagine the capabilities of these technologies. But when we're actually talking about the products that tech companies are releasing, they are not necessarily the technologies described in science fiction or movies. So let's go through some definitions. And the first one would be artificial intelligence itself, AI. And when we talk about artificial intelligence in software, we're talking about machines, computers capable of acting autonomously to perceive, synthesize, and infer information, to think. And AI has to do with the theory and methods to build machines that can solve problems by thinking and acting like humans. Artificial intelligence is a broad field of study. It's an umbrella term under which these technologies fit into. And I want to think of these first few terms as sort of concentric circles, where artificial intelligence is the largest circle. And within that, we have the field of machine learning. Machine learning is dedicated to understanding and building methods that let machines learn by using standard algorithms to derive predictive insights from data and make repeated decisions once a machine learning model has been trained on some data set, it can go forward and make predictions based on patterns that it has inferred from its training data set. And a smaller circle within machine learning is a subset of machine learning known as deep learning, which is a group of algorithms and a field that focuses on working with data that is sometimes semi-structured, sometimes unstructured, and leverages a group of algorithms often known as artificial neural networks. It's a group of algorithms that are inspired by a biological learning paradigm where an artificial neural network imitates or is at least based on as a starting point the way in which our human or animal brains are a network of neurons connected by synapses. And with artificial neural networks, this pattern is imitated by building out a system of connected units or nodes known as artificial neurons, which loosely model the neurons in a biological brain. These neurons are aggregated into layers that may perform different transformations on the inputs of that training data set. And then eventually, of the real data that you are going to be passing to the machine learning model. Many of the current artificial intelligence algorithms that have been in the news, in particular ChatGPT, are based on these artificial neural network algorithms. Now, to get particular about some of the recent technologies that folks are really excited about in technology, there is a particular machine learning model known as Transformer that is an artificial neural network model that Google published in a white paper in 2017. The white paper was called Transformer, a Novel Neural Network Architecture for Language Understanding. Their key insight in that paper was that they figured out a way to configure this model so that it would differentially weigh the significance of each part of the input, and that would include recursive output of the data. And this type of neural network machine learning model is particularly good at generating very intelligible text. And so when you are interacting with a model that uses Transformer, it can generate very human readable, human intelligible text and outputs that pass off as very convincing and almost appear to, or oftentimes may even appear to have been generated by a human being. From that Transformer algorithm, an organization known as OpenAI in 2018 developed their generative pre-trained Transformer model, GPT. That is what the acronym stands for, Generative Pre-trained Transformer. OpenAI has released several versions of their GPT model. We're now at GPT-4. Rumors that GPT-5 may be in the next 12 to 18 months. And this model is a generative model where it can generate text, images, and other media in response to prompts, which lends itself really nicely to an interface like a chatbot. And that has been the format that OpenAI has chosen to package their product and put it in front of the public. So people can interact with ChatGPT and give it prompts, ask it to generate text, to describe topics, to even generate essays. And folks have been really impressed by this. It is legitimately quite impressive, the outputs that can come out of this model. So that's where we are right now in the middle of 2023, is that these particular machine learning models based on technology that came out of Google a little over 5 years ago are being rapidly adopted. And I think a lot of folks are looking at the potential of these models and this technology to solve many different use cases and problems.
Excellent. The technology of this is interesting. And obviously, there's several rabbit holes we could go down. But at an introductory layer, there's a hard problem that kind of gets missed in the hype cycle. And you touched on it briefly, which is the fuel for all of this is data. And we have this enormous pool of data or pools of data that exist because of the internet and because of the way that people interact with the internet, where we're capturing data and people's response to that data in what is known in machine learning as examples. We take data and put attach labels to it, say, hey, this data resulted in this action, or this truly is a picture of a hot dog. So if we go from the technical side of this to the business side of this, the technology is in place to do all this stuff. And frankly, the technology has been in place to do a lot of this stuff for decades. Neural networks are not new things, but the underlying infrastructure to be able to run neural networks at scale is what's new. And this is, we'll tie it back to the cloud somehow, people. This is a cloud podcast. The public cloud, the ability to rent capacity, leads to a lot of people exploring machine learning, a lot of people implementing machine learning, and in the case of someone like Google, coming up with novel ways of approaching machine learning, Transformer and such. Now, right out of the bat, you gave me this great quote from the CEO of OpenAI, the people who do ChatGPT, where he estimated the cost query of using ChatGPT. What was that?
Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, has estimated that returning a response to a prompt to GPT costs about 1 to 3 cents per prompt. And as we know from people interacting with that particular model, folks are throwing many, many prompts at that model continuously. And those costs can certainly add up very quickly.
And that's going to transition us to a discussion of the business side of this. Like I said, a lot of the concept of neural networks, a lot of the concepts we're using, a lot of the concepts are frankly linear algebra that come out of things like the planning for World War II. So yep. we're talking about 50, 60, 70-year-old algorithms that can finally be implemented at scale using things like the cloud. Just because we now that we can do this, it's up to the business side of the house to understand whether we should. Just as a side note here, it's ironic and telling to us that the hype, enthusiasm for machine learning, AI, and such is equal to, exceeding crypto, blockchain, which was how many months ago?
Yeah, I think it is telling that there was so much discourse and so much discussion about crypto 18 months ago. We hear so much less of it now. And now we're hearing so much more about the potential and the business behind AI. And frankly, from some of the same people, from some of those same voices that were really banging on about crypto and have been pretty quiet about crypto in recent months, are really now shifted their focus to AI.
Yeah, I'm seeing the same VCs. I'm seeing the same voices moving. Ignore the mess behind the curtain over there.
Exactly.
Let's move to a new mess. Now, right out of the box, machine learning, AI, is in no way, shape, or form sketchy as crypto, as many iterations of crypto. ML, AI are valid technologies doing a lot of good work right now, but they're, in our considered opinion, they are a tool in the toolbox. They aren't the solution to everything, not the penicillin that's going to solve every disease in your company.
Yeah.
But right now, those same people who were leading the charge on crypto are telling us or promoting things like, I just saw a quick finance.yahoo blurb, billions of dollars will be saved through increased efficiency through ML and yep. open up brand new areas of business.
Our good friends at McKinsey have said it will add something like $4 trillion to the total GDP output of our economy.
Our good friends need to dial back the drinking.
Yes, friends of the pod.
It may, but so billions of dollars through increased efficiency, new areas of business. Efficiency in a capitalist context means cutting cost. And obviously, as we all know, as a discussion we had yesterday, you pointed out, this goes all the way back to Marx. What was his discussion? What was his description of automation?
He described automation, and back then automation, they were talking about factories, as dead labor was how he described automation.
Yeah. As opposed to, so right out of the box, we are agreed on that there's some powerful things that ML can do in unloading human beings from having to make decisions at scale. There was I think Benedict Evans once posted a picture showing this office, and it was probably well over 100 desks in this office. And every desk had a person, had a calculator. And he said, think of this office, every one of these desks, as its own cell in Excel worksheet, that every one of these people is doing some level of calculation that has to be rolled up manually. So this is 90 years ago. And all of that's been replaced by something like spreadsheets, cost-saving maneuver, but also creating new areas of business. Net, that's probably a good thing. As opposed to, in a personal context, Mary and my wife is spending a lot of time on hold, dealing with financial and insurance and medical institutions who offer chatbots as ways of getting information. And this information is completely absurd for the problem that she has. What we find more and more is that rather than investing in outreach to customers, rather than investing in customer support, that businesses see a technology like chatbots and possibly ML as replacing that cost center of customer support and pushing the cost of formatting the question, of investigating, onto their consumers. So that we have this technology that people are swearing or trumpeting that's going to save so much money to the business entity itself. And initial implementations of this in things like chatbots have been to degrade the relationship that companies have with their customers. So I don't know that the promises that a McKinsey has are accurate in terms of cost savings. I do think that $4 trillion of economic activity could be generated with people trying to get around the chatbots and people trying to get to an operator, trying to get to a human being who can do the final leg of customer support. the idea that billions of dollars saved through increased efficiency, where capitalism says efficiency is remove those that labor. I think it's going to come back on us as consumers to either have to do the legwork ourselves or to move to a different company that's going to invest again in that human interface. Because anyone who's dealt with large corporations knows these days, you have to get the question right. And the time and such that you invest is on you to get to the point where someone can help you with your problem. And I don't see ML helping that at all. The other thing is new areas of business for the people who are using machine learning. That is fundamentally wrong in the sense of new, in the sense of something being brand new, something the company's never done before. As an example, and we'll put this article in the show notes, a machine learning model has been sort of set loose amongst chemical compounds that were known. And to try and find chemical compounds that could help with skin healing and de-aging skin, but also not have the drawbacks of other compounds. And a machine learning model was given the task of look across all these chemical compounds, analyze the chemical structure, and come up with the ones that we should then investigate to see if they are more effective at dealing with skin problems. That is a great task for a machine learning model. It has boundaries to it. It is looking across a set of knowledge that is too vast for human investigation, but it does the first cut of eliminating the chaff and then bubbling up the compounds, in this case, that are more directed towards solving the problem. That is a great use of machine learning, where we're taking known decisions, known data, known decision criteria, and implementing it at scale, which is the first cut great use of machine learning. The trouble with, again, sorry to harp on all the chatbot providers out there, the trouble with people who are interfacing with other human beings is human beings are incredibly variable. The other thing I was thinking of is the infamous cup holder. There's a possibly mythic customer support scenario where someone calls in and says, my cup holder is broken. And after much questioning, it turns out that they'd been using the CD drive as a cup holder. And that's something that conceptually we as human beings can deal with. And once we get beyond the fact that, wow, they really had no idea what a CD was, but it's not something a machine learning model could, because we as human beings look at that and go, oh, you could put a cup in the hole there. Why would you? Not something a machine learning model is capable of doing, because that's not data that was part of its training. So those are two things that businesses need to be aware of if they're going to do a machine learning model. But back to you, Logan, there's a new way of doing business that makes this very attractive to Silicon Valley.
Yes, I think a large misconception about AI and machine learning models is that once you have that model, you are all done, that you're all set. That maybe for a future use case where you train a model on your business's problem, you've got the model all set up in your company to solve some problem, that you're done. But that is really not how machine learning works at all, because machine learning is iterative, and it is, you have to be continuously retraining, allowing that model to learn, if you will, from new data as it's coming in. That retraining, that relearning is not occurring with the model that you have, that model version that you have built at the outset. Because that once that model is built, once it's trained on its full data set, you have done the validations to verify that it returns accurate results and that you have set it up at some endpoint where you can run queries against it, that version of the model is static. In order to update the model, you have to retrain it on new data. And then once you have retrained a new version of the model, you would deploy that new version to serve as your new endpoint, oftentimes at some API. I think that there's a common misconception that we are at the iRobot phase, where we have artificial intelligence that is actively out here learning. But under the hood, when we are improving the capabilities of these models, it requires a pipeline of retraining, reevaluating, and redeploying new versions. And that is a continuous process. If you are standing still, you're going to get left behind. I think that this is an area where Silicon Valley finds AI and machine learning extremely attractive because if for these models to be valuable, they require constant retraining and reiterating, it means recurring revenue. I think that Silicon Valley views machine learning as a really attractive technology for recurring revenue. This is, in a way, the next evolution of SaaS, where one of the big innovations of software as a service, especially browser-based software as a service in the past 20 years, is a subscription model. You're no longer paying a large fee at the outset to buy software. You're paying $10 a month or $15 per person, per user. And that can be really attractive for many companies purchasing software, but it's also really attractive for the vendor of that software because they know that they're going to be getting that $15 payment every month. They have recurring revenue. In my opinion, I think that they view AI as the next step in that. This is even better path to recurring revenue for these publicly traded companies that need to show revenue growth quarter over quarter.
Yep. The thing is that the implementing a machine learning model, putting your machine learning model online, interacting with data, you're inherently some period of time in the past. If today we implemented something, what is it, June 16th, we implement a machine learning model, it's based on data that we've collected from the past up to a certain point in time, maybe even up to June 1st. Then as the model is used, the data that is generated by, or the actions generated by the model itself, the world changes, business changes. So we are not up to date with what's actually happening right now. Our model is still based on the world as it was when the model was created. And that represents a huge opportunity for companies providing that model because, hey, why don't I just continuously monitor the output? If the model's capabilities start to flag, I'll roll out a brand new one. All you have to do is continuously pay me money. Collect the raw information, collect information about your operations, and then roll out a brand new system and possibly charge you for the hardware it all runs on. So the business opportunity is huge here. And thus, we are not only engaged in the standard hype cycle of technology, but we are looking at a Silicon Valley that is trying to figure out what business it's going to be in. The social networks have been revealed as being incredibly fragile. We saw what happened with Facebook when it was slagged by the market via the failure of the metaverse. We see what's happening with Twitter. We see what's happening with Reddit. So social networks, the inherently scalable systems that the Valley was supporting with ads and such, kind of going away. But what's the next thing that the unicorns are going to deliver for the VCs? Mm-hmm. It may be machine learning. But if it is, it's going to be a very, very different approach to business. It's going to be a very different approach by the suppliers, by the users. And it's going to be a very, very different security environment. So that's a lot of stuff to dump on you listeners at the outset. But as I said, this is going to be a series of things where we dive into machine learning, the implementation of it, the risks involved in it, possibly the rewards. There are definitely rewards that are part of it, but the kind of things you will need to engage in, you'll have to make sure that you have in place in order to use it effectively. So let's leave it right there. And the next time we come back, we'll be talking about risks. We'll be talking not just technology risks, but business risks and why that inherent cost savings may be illusory. You may have gotten rid of your people who are answering an 800 number, but you might have had to hire almost as many data scientists in order to clean, curate, and ensure that the data you're using is correct. So leaving you with that, any last words, Logan?
All righty. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great one.